Listeners of a certain age may recall Lum's family restaurant chain of the 1960s and 70s and their signature dish, hot dogs steamed in beer. Fast forward to today, and patrons are enjoying pork belly corn dogs with truffle mustard, or slow-cooked, double-bock barbecued meatballs, IPA-infused wings, saison mussels, wheat beer steamed clams, all at pubs and restaurants across the country. There are just a few of the 155 recipes in the American Craft Beer Cookbook. Its author, John Hall, joins me on Newsworks tonight. John, thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you found time to write a book. You're also the editor of All About Beer magazine. Their mission, in part, is exposing and bringing to light beer culture. So, for starters, what's beer culture?
I think beer culture is any culture, really, in the United States these days. It's a sense of place. It's a sense of community. It's a sense of people getting together under the same banner of enjoying a good beer that's made well by friendly people and skilled, competent people. So it's all about looking into every aspect of the beer life.
And indeed, this book is in part a travelogue. It takes us to various locations throughout the country where folks are making beer. And let's talk about those pork belly corn dogs. They're made at the Dogfish Head Craft Brewery in Delaware. You call them the Wizards of Wonder.
I do. And one of the things that I really love about Dogfish is they're known for making these very strange and exotic beers. And aside from that, they make some of the finest IPAs in the country. Their 60, 90, and Indian Brown are really wonderful hopped beers. But where Dogfish really excels is by making creative beers with odd ingredients or using recipes that go back to the Sumerian age. They've recreated ancient ale recipes, and they're really not afraid to try different things. And that's one of the reasons that I like them so much is whenever I go down, I never really know what they're going to have on tap or what it's made with. And that's a fun thing. Always keep the customers guessing.
You cited IPAs. It would take an hour to list all the different types of beers. There's fruit beers, vegetable beers, think pumpkin.
Oh, absolutely.
Smoked beers, coffee beers, chocolate beers, on and on and on. Anything goes, or does it? Are there any rules anymore? Is there anything that's out of bounds?
I don't think so. And that's really the cool thing about the U.S. brewing tradition right now and the U.S. brewing industry right now is that the brewers are really fearless. They're not afraid to try different things. They're not afraid to take established styles that came from traditional brewing countries like Germany or the U.K. or Belgium and take them and really turn them on their ear. And so, yeah, everything is on the table. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. There's a beer that I cite that was once brewed with grilled beef hearts and rosemary. Yeah, it wasn't my favorite, but again, it shows the inventiveness of the brewers and how they're willing to really try anything. And no matter what your tastes are, you can find a beer to match it these days.
It's a crowded field. Your book is hitting the bookshelves at the same time as the Craft Beer Kitchen, the Canadian Craft Beer Cookbook, the best of American beer and food, pairing and cooking with craft beer. Yet I still sense that there is an inferiority complex among beer aficionados relative to wine.
I think there is, but I think that that's changing a little bit. Wine has really been in the spotlight for a long time. If you go out to a nicer restaurant, you're going to find an expansive wine list, and beer drinkers were really left with trying just the normal Budweisers or a Heineken maybe. There wasn't a lot of choice in the restaurant world, and now beer drinkers are seeing more beers on the menus because the restaurants are responding, realizing that there's real beers with real flavors out there, and that wine is a great beverage, but restaurants and chefs are also realizing that beer, for the most part, usually pairs better with a meal than wine.
You cite various cities in a section of the book called Road Trips, and
yes,
Philadelphia is one of only six cities highlighted. And then there's a chapter on beer festivals, where again, Philly Beer Week is one of merely nine events nationwide. How did we become such a hotbed?
Well, Philly has a great beer tradition anyway. I mean, there's certainly a lot of breweries that operated here before Prohibition. Early settlers in the country set up breweries here, and it's always been a great beer-drinking town. But these days, I think Philly Beer Week has really helped quite a bit. It is one of the more interesting, lively, and just fun events that happens in the beer world these days. Brewers come in from around the country. Restaurants pull out all the stops. The Hammer of Glory parade that happens on the first day with everybody shutting down the streets and dressing up in costumes. It shows the fun side of beer, and you also get to taste some good stuff in the glass. Philly is, I think, if people haven't visited for the beer, or live in town and haven't experienced the local beer scene, that they should get right to it because there's so much out there.
So citing Philadelphia's heritage pre-Prohibition, take us through the arc of history and the economic model whereby that all collapsed, and for a time it was just the major manufacturer of brewers.
It was just the major. So after Prohibition, we were left with a declining number of breweries that I think got as low as about 50 or so. And then in the late 70s, we saw more brewers come into their own. And I think like any industry, if people are successful at it, that more people will try to get involved in it. And in the early to mid 80s or so, more breweries opened up. Then by the mid 90s, there was a bit of a collapse. Brewers were opening up, but they weren't paying attention to quality or what was in their glass, or they were naming their beers silly names that would catch an eye on the shelf but wouldn't deliver on flavor. And so we saw
– Oh, you mean something with beef hearts in it?
Well, not even that. But, you know, they take an animal name and some sort of bodily fluid and mix the two together, and they'd call it, you know, something along those lines. And that didn't really work. It was a fun thing to – funny thing to bring to somebody's house as a gag gift, but the beer didn't deliver. And now – brewers, there's such science behind it. There's new technology. There's equipment and education out there. And brewers, I think, are making some of the best beer that they ever have before. And the large brewers are getting better at what they're doing, really dialing in the science, dialing in the ability to make large quantities of beer that can be shipped around the world, taste the same no matter where you are. And local brewers are getting inventive with making beers with local ingredients that might come from a farm down the road, or you know, pairing with a restaurant to do a beer dinner. And that brings that really brings the beer industry to a whole new level, similar to wine, similar to some of the finer dining experiences that are out there as well.
Let's talk about that beer industry written large. Is there a snobbery or an orthodoxy among craft beer aficionados whereby InBev or Budweiser or Miller couldn't possibly produce a quality product?
You know, there is, and that's wrong, because they do produce a quality product. Budweiser, Miller, Coors make hundreds of millions of barrels of beer a year, and it tastes exactly the same. And that takes a tremendous amount of technical skill. And whether or not you prefer the flavor of adjunct lagers, as they're called, because they use corn in them, that's neither here nor there.
Or rice in the case of Budweiser.
Yes, exactly. If you don't like those flavors, that's okay. But to call it not quality, I think, is a very wrong way to approach it.
We cited Delaware-based Dogfish. Let's stay regional. You mentioned several area brewers, including Weyerbacher, Trogs, Victory, Earthbred, and Brewery.
Yeah.
Tell us about that facility.
Earthbred and Brewery is really one of the better brew pubs in the country right now. The beer's inventive and very flavorful. The food, the chef that they have there really makes these wonderful dishes. And whenever you go there, you can find a beer that pairs so well with the food that it really becomes a better experience. Even if you're just stopping in for like a quick sandwich or a burger or something along those lines, or you know, a pizza or something, you can find a good beer to match it. And Tom the brewer had a brewery in New Jersey for a while, and it was very well received by people who knew about it. And when he moved to Philly, it was a loss for those of us from New Jersey, but certainly Philly's gain, because it's they're doing really quite well, and it's a fun place to visit.
Thanksgiving's at hand.
It is.
Any easy recommendations for the holiday table if it's a traditional Thanksgiving turkey dinner?
I think a brown ale goes really well with the roasted turkey. Brown ale that already has some caramel notes to it really can mimic some of the taste of like that nice skin, you know, the juicy meat. There's a little bit of sweetness to that beer as well that can go with some of the savory juices in the turkey. So it's a nice combination. Certainly a Saison that already has some herbal notes to it would go well with some of those great side dishes that people have that already have some of those flavors. With cranberries, you can do a wheat beer that already has orange or coriander made in it, which enhances some of those flavors. And then after dinner, you have everything, beers these days brewed with chocolate, beers these days brewed with coffee, beers that have been aged in old bourbon barrels that take on a lot of those whiskey, vanilla, wood notes. And if you pour one of those into a snifter, that's a really nice way to wind up the end of what is hopefully a really nice day.
Happy holiday to you and yours, and thanks for whetting our appetites.
Thanks so much for having me. Cheers.
That's John Hall, editor of All About Beer magazine and author of the new book entitled The American Craft Beer Cookbook, 155 recipes from your favorite brew pubs and breweries.